What is Minority Health Month? Can you explain that?
Yes. Minority Health Month was started somewhere in the mid-'80s to try to help bring awareness to health disparities that exist amongst people of color. And it also is to encourage health promotion and improve lifestyle choices amongst minority populations.
Why is that needed? What's the purpose?
Well, it said a recent study found that 2/3 of Americans are unaware of racial and ethnic disparities in the United States. And it's very important that if we are going to have a healthy healthcare system and we as a healthy community, we learn how to treat all people. And a lot of times we find these health disparities amongst different people, different populations, basically. And most of your research will, if you read the research, it'll say, you know, compared to a white American white person. So this minority via this white person. So we know that the research is being done and the services that are being given are somehow, for whatever the reason, whites seem to have better outcomes. And so now we can look at and see what is this happening amongst the white population that's not happening in the minority population. And so we can look at that from different perspectives. We can look at it from the perspective of services being rendered. We can look at it cultural competencies amongst the servers. So it really allows you some different gauges to take a look at to better serve minority populations.
Do you think there are particular health problems that impact minorities that perhaps are not as prevalent among whites?
Yes, amongst the Hispanic community, Hispanics are twice as likely to be diagnosed with diabetes, more likely to have end-stage renal disease, and 50% more likely to die from complications of diabetes compared to non-Hispanic whites. In the African American community, we know many of your leading categories: hypertension, heart attack, stroke, obesity, many of those things in the African-American community are fairly high. Amongst Asians, they are 40% more likely to have prostate cancer compared to whites. Less likely to have prostate cancer than whites, but they're twice as likely to have stomach cancer. So what numbers like this gives us a chance to look at is what's happening in that culture amongst those people that is not happening among whites, and how are we serving the white community, I would say, differently. So how do we find some medium in there to serve and have the services and outcomes try to be leveled amongst all people?
Yeah, do we have a feel for why there is a disparity? Is this partially dietary?
Well, I think it's dietary and some of it's culture. I guess the immediate one that I can give you as a black person born in America, after slavery, you know, we started eating these high salt foods. And, you know, the easy one is to talk about, say, soul food. Mm-hmm. People talk about soul food, you know, you talk about greens and macaroni and cheese and fried chicken, blah, blah, blah. Well, those foods, more so the greens and the chicken and the sweet potato, foods like that are really not bad for you. Actually, they're excellent foods. The problem
depending on how they're prepared.
Exactly. And that's where the problem comes in, because of the culture of the high salt content, the use of pork, and those things contribute to the high blood pressure, you know, stroke, and things like that. So when you examine the culture and you see what it is they're doing, now I think the community is becoming more educated. I know people that if they eat soul food, so to speak, they don't use pork. They'll use turkey or some none at all. Instead of frying chicken, they'll bake chicken. And so we know there's a major difference between eating baked chicken and fried chicken. So that way, when you understand a little more about the culture itself, you understand better how to treat those people.
And maybe if you're going to have true soul food, it's a treat that you have every once in a great while rather than it being a nightly meal.
Exactly. And when we look at that, you know, we have to look at where many African Americans, particularly in larger city areas, you know, they live in what's called food deserts. There really aren't very many major grocery chains within their communities. So a lot of times they're buying food based on convenience. They're buying it based on, you know, what's quick to get to. And that may end up being processed. And we know eating what a lot of processed foods does. So there are different reasons as to why this is happening in the African American community. We know, but it's like, well, what do we do about it? We can't make a major change coming to the community, but we can educate people and try to give them some other alternatives as to other foods they can eat and healthier foods they can eat.
Do you think that's the access to healthier foods is more of an issue perhaps in urban regions than a smaller town such as Macomb, where I think just about everyone has access to the same grocery stores?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, while there is usually the conversations that we have when people move here, we often talk about what's not in Macomb. You know, there's, for people of color, there's very little to do culturally. We don't have, there's just not very many things to do if you're trying to stay involved in something that's related to your culture. However, I say the opposite side to that. If you look at what happens in the urban areas, you know, when you talk about having to go far away to get food in Macomb, heck, even the bus is free if you had to go get food. You know, all the resources that you really need are at your arm's end. I mean, it's just a matter of getting up off the couch and, as I said, if you had to walk to the nearest corner and catch the bus. So we know that at least the resources are available to you here as opposed to, say, living in the city. And I also think if you look at the stressors of living in the inner city, say if you had to catch a bus, you may have to go through some bad neighborhoods to get out to this other area where the store is, not to mention you have, say if you have your major groceries and you're on the bus. Well, there's another set of stressors, you know, getting on the bus with all these bags and if you have heavy foods and now you have to get from the stop to the home. Whereas I believe in the rural areas, you know, again, the bus is free. Nothing is really far. I mean, if you had to get anywhere in Macomb, realistically, you actually could walk. You don't have to be in great shape, and you could actually walk to the resource. So I think that makes a big difference as well.
Regarding treatment, do you feel that there's been a greater emphasis on the types of diseases that would that potentially impact whites versus non-whites?
I would say so. And I had a case where my son was being seen by a local pediatrician, and there was some alarming things that happened in his blood testing. And so we were sent to another doctor somewhere else to take a look at him. And the doctor looked at what this doctor referred and said, you know, this is what they're worried about and blah, 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 blah. Well, this doctor looked, and this doctor was competent in working with children of color. This doctor was in Peoria and knew more about the research and was, again, what's important is cultural competency. She looked at the numbers and, you know, she ran some tests on my son and she said, basically, this is more common in African Americans. This is not something wrong. This is just something you see in African Americans as opposed to a white child. So say in a white child, you know, this would have been an alarming number. But in a black child, it wasn't. But being that this doctor was culturally competent, she understood that. So now you take a scenario like that when you live in a town without any black doctors with that may not understand the culture of black people. And a lot of times, you know, you have foreign just people, period, that are here. And they may try to explain something to a doctor who really hasn't had much experience with a person of another culture. And so we get these mix-ups. A perfect case was a little girl went to the doctor with her father who didn't speak any English. He had cancer. And the doctor told the little girl that what we can do to help fix the problem is we can look at radiation, you know, the process of radiation, however that works. Well, the little girl explained to the father that they're basically going to do like a microwave and cook your insides. So the father said no. And, you know, he ended up, you know, with this other stage of cancer because the communication was broken down. Had this doctor been fluent, say, in Spanish, or had at least had someone there to make sure that the language was clear to explain to the father, you know, you wouldn't have had that crisis.
Yeah, they were not going to cook his insides.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
So this is Minority Health Month. You're yes. Raising awareness. Is there a particular issue or aspect regarding minority health that you want to focus on?
Well, I think something that's alarming is amongst all children, the obesity rate is fairly high. It's fairly high, which now we're looking at obesity, which leads us to the conversation of diabetes among, you know, juvenile diabetes. So there's a number. It actually is a range of issues, and really 1 month is really not enough time to deal with something that is as serious as the problems that are happening in the minority community. But we're really focused on, like, one event I'll tell you about, well, from the start and the finish. One of the events we did March the 26th, I believe, we did some stress tests. The wonderful people at BU put on some really good they put on a – it was a health – it was a part of the health fair, but it was to check like hypertension and blood pressures and things like that. And a lot of people are not aware of when that problem is happening. At the end of the month, we're having a Get Fit Day with Dr. Thomas, and that's going to be a day we hope the community comes out, the university community comes out. And what we're going to do is have a number of things set up to do some education and basically have some fun and teach people about exercises that they can do, things to pay attention to, some basic techniques of exercise at home, things you can do without a gym. So I think when you teach people, one of the things we're stressing is teaching people how to be healthy without a lot of external things to go to. I mean, having to go to the gym. You know, you teach people about very simple foods that they can eat to become healthy. You teach them about floor exercises, proper stretching. And I think once a person begins to get moving, you know, that's kind of the start on to something else.
Are there is there another event or two for Minority Health Month that you might like to highlight, things coming up at Western?
Sure. On April 16th, we're doing we're going to address health disparities among men in the minority populations. That's April 16th, and that'll be from 5 to 6:30 in the Union in the Lincoln Room. We're going to show a really good documentary on about the Latino community and their health disparities, and we're going to have a panel discussion with that also.
When is that?
That one is. Oh my gosh!
Is that April 25th?
I'm sorry, I'm lost. Okay. Yes, Latino Health Access, a model of community action. We're going to have a very, very good panel with that, and that was a big part of Minority Health, is allowing those populations to talk about the culture and the people and not have others representing them, actually have a Latino panel to discuss their experiences and what they've gone through and what they actually experience. So I think it gives us all a little different perspective when you hear directly from the person.
You earlier said, you know, there's a lot to squeeze into a month, and of course, these issues, these concerns, these challenges are year-round. They're not confined to a single month. Mm-hmm. So what do you think can be done or should be done after the end of April to make sure that these issues stay in the forefront?
I say visit BU Health Center. They have wonderful people there that can offer education. We have a great kinesiology department. We have a you know, you really couldn't ask for more than our rec center. You know, we have to really try to get people moving and get them involved. And there's a lot of available resources here on our campus, and particularly living even in a rural area. You know, you can safely walk quite a distance in this community. So it's really trying to educate people and get them moving. I think the more education and practical things we teach people that they don't feel like is a burden. You know, sometimes getting off work, you know, trying to get your home situated and then going to a gym, well, that can be taxing if you have young children or depending upon your work schedule. Whereas if we educate people about some of the simple things they can do at home in the convenience of 15 to 30 minutes every day, I think those are the things that will get people moving. And hopefully out of the month, that's really what we do. You know, really begin to teach people how to do the simple things and then move on from there, you know, via the education.
All right. Anything you want to add?
Yes. Yes. On Tuesday, the 23rd of April, we have a keynote speaker. Her name is Dr. Linda Ray Murray, and she is the for Cook County. She's the public health. She runs the public health department in Cook County. She's going to be our keynote speaker. She's the chief medical officer, and she's a very wonderful speaker, a lot of experience. So I think she will bring the month together, you know.
Does she have a title for that speech, or do you know, is there a particular theme she's going to address?
Yes, it's called What Have I Done to Protect My Health? That's the theme of the speech.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I would truly say, please check for all of the events. We have a number of events all month long, and
I should ask, where can somebody find a schedule? Is it online, or are there flyers around campus, or both?
Actually, both. We have posters up in the buildings. You can check online. We'll be passing out handbills. You know, we'll be busy all month trying to get people to the panels and the discussions. And, you know, getting feedback from the community is very important, because then that better tells us what it is we need to address for the next year.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.